All right, we're in our 1 John study. We will be outside of the book of 1 John quite a bit tonight. Each week on Sunday, we try to sort of excavate a theme in the letter, and then around Wednesday night, we sort of branch out and look at those concepts in other places. So if you have your material, where you want to be is Lesson 9, Child of God. We're talking about what it means to be born of God, and we've been studying that a little bit. It occurs, 10 times or so in the book of 1 John. And what we've been doing down at the bottom of page 18 is just at the end of last class, we talked about let's leave 1 John and let's look at this idea of being a child of God in some other places. So we were in John 1 on Sunday morning, so go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 1. We'll start there, we'll look at John 1, a little bit in John 3 and John 11. So if you're in the Gospel of John, you're in a perfect spot to get this study going. You guys already know, the scholars that we are, that this is the same John who wrote 1 John, so you're going to hear a lot of common language. This children of God thing pops up a lot in his approaches. So that's where we'll be tonight as we celebrate really what it means to be born into the family of the Lord and enjoy the benefits therein. Let's give glory to our Father before we begin. Our dear Father in heaven, our great Creator Lord, we are your children in that you made us. You formed us out of nothing. You brought all things, matter and energy together, and you breathed life into us. And you've built into us a soul that belongs to you. And so in that sense, you are the Father of all human beings, and we honor you as our Maker. But Father, in your great love, your incredible mercy, you sought a closeness with us that can only happen when sin is removed from the equation. And so, God, we're so thankful for Jesus, your Son, whom you gave to offer himself, to give his life, to shed his blood so that we can remove the sin from our lives and we can become reborn, born into a relationship with you, and we can enjoy blessings that exist today, tonight, in this building, and will just keep growing up into eternity. We're thankful, God, to be your children. We want to be obedient children. We want to be children who honor you, and Father, we pray that tonight as we study, that we can learn how to do that. Father, we're thankful for this church, for the people who worship here, for the teachers in the back putting forth effort to try to help our young people know you better, and we're thankful for the visitors who've come through this way to be with us tonight. We look forward to the Word of God, your Word, in your Son's name. Amen. All right, a couple of things in. We're about to answer some big questions on the back page, some very straightforward questions on children of God, but here's what we're doing. In John 1, we finished with this last time. In John 1, verses 9 through 13, you notice that children of God gets mentioned. Just very briefly, what is said about being a child of God in John chapter 1? Who's got an answer for that? John 1, 9 through 13. Those who believed in him were called children of God. All right. So this opens with this idea of Jesus being the all-existing one. And if we believe in him, he offers to us the right to become his family. And it begins with our belief in Jesus. Yes? Distinct from normal birth. I think that's a great way to jump two chapters ahead. It mentions children of God in chapter 1, verse 12. Now, what did Jesus tell Nicodemus two chapters later in John chapter 3? What did he tell him about being born in John 3? Okay, unless you are born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God or a relationship with God and his kingdom. Now, Nicodemus did not understand this because he's just a regular old human being like everybody else. And he was like, well, how would I be born again? That's not possible. And Jesus comes back and explains the new birth. And how does Jesus explain it in John 3? You must be born again of water, physical, and of spirit, which is, of course, spiritual in nature. You must, John chapter 3, you must be born, verse 5, unless you are born, verse 5, of water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We're convinced that that text is talking about the immersion in water where we're born anew in God and we receive the benefits of the Holy Spirit, the benefit of eternal life. So that is supernatural. It's not something that is about your natural birth. It's about being born again. And so that's what becoming a Christian is. If you get one thing out of this week, what you want to get is when you think about what it means to become a Christian, what it means to come up out of that water, you need to be thinking about being adopted as children of God who become heirs to the inheritance of your Creator. Special relationship that comes when we do that. Look in John chapter 11. In John 11, this is right there at the bottom of page 18. John 11, beginning in verse 45, you see when you get all the way down to about verse 52 that the children of God gets mentioned again. What is being said about children of God in John 11? What's the point?
Jesus died for us.
Okay, Jesus died for us to make us such. What else? See that verse 51, by the way? Jesus was going to die for the nation. And the Jews had to try to find a way to accept that. But what does it say in the very next verse?
I use super, substitutionary. I think that's how. You know, he took our place, our atonement for our sins.
That is stupendously super great. I'm going to have to look that one up. That was serendipitous. Okay, so along that line about what he did that, but he did that for whom? Who did he do that for? Every nation. Not just their nation. Look at the end of verse 51. He would give his life for every nation, which told you that was prophesied, and it was, in order that he might do what? Why die for every nation? What's the idea? To bring them together so that anyone from any nation can come together into one, into the children of God, though they may be at present scattered abroad. I've thought a lot about this verse this week. Racism and bias and problems among people of different descendancy and background is still ravaging our nation. It's still affecting relationships. But you go all the way back to the days of Jesus, he died to take all of that hate away, to break down anything that divides us and unite us under one banner, and that banner is Jesus is our great and mighty King. And so we ought to be those kind of people. We ought to be completely free of bias and racism and anything that would divide us, because he died for all nations. So there's something that we're able to celebrate together. Let's move to a third passage along the way. And this time you can turn to page 19 in your booklet. But where you'll be in the Bible is Romans chapter 8. We spend a lot of time in Romans 8. Gotta love it. And in verses 12 through 17, we're going to get mention again of being children of God. Romans chapter 8. Verses 12 through 17, what does it say about being a child of God? Awesome.
Spirit, they are the sons of God.
You're talking about verse 16? Verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You actually get three references here. Did you see them? You are sons of God, verse 14. We are children of God, verse 16. And if children, verse 17, heirs also. If you're a part of the family, you get the benefits of the family. And so he gets to that point. So he starts with, in verse 14, you must be led by the Spirit. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life. So there's one thing I know about being a child of God. I am led by the Holy Spirit. He leads me. After all, I'm born of him, so he ought to be the one who leads me. You are born of the water and the Spirit, and in such you receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit, which is eternal life, and his will leads me. We've seen that a lot in 1 John. John over and over says, somebody's going to try to mislead you. You stick with what the Holy Spirit told you, and you'll be fine. Because when the Holy Spirit is leading you, you cannot go astray. What else is said about children of God in this text?
Testifies for us.
This is a really interesting wording, David. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. What do you guys think that means? And David, you follow up if you'd like. But verse 16, what does that mean? The Spirit testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God.
Confirmation.
All right. Are there people who believe themselves to be children of God, but they're not? I hope not, but probably. The only way you can be a child of God is if you get the testimony of two spirits. You need a two-spirit testimony. The first is right there inside of you. You know you're in a relationship with God because you believe in Jesus as the Son of God and you love to serve God. But that's not enough. One testimony will not get it done. I also need the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which goes right along with verse 14. And so I have to be able to prove this, to back it up with what the Bible says, not just what I feel and think. To testify that you're a child of God, your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir.
Tying this back to John 1:13, where he said he gave a believer the power to become some. Now, some translations say the power,
yeah.
Some say the wrath, some say the authority, but the power, the wrath, the authority to become a child of God. The thing that was given to him, you go to Romans 1, and Paul said, I'm not ashamed of Christ, it is the power of God to salvation. So he gave the believer. Gospel doesn't mean anything to someone who doesn't believe. A believer has the gospel. And then these verses were talking about the Holy Spirit testifying with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The gospel, if we are obedient to the gospel and to the word of God, which the Holy Spirit gave, and if our lives match that gospel, then the Holy Spirit testifies that we are the Son of God.
Sure. Yeah, that's exactly the point we're trying to make. It's okay if someone you care about says, I am a child of God, and you say, show me how. What do you mean, show you how? I don't have to show you anything. I'm a child of God, and I don't have to show you a thing. The text says, to testify, I heard one argument, you're very passionate, now let him speak. And what we want to get to, all we need to get to change this whole town, flip it all the way upside down, is get people into two-spirit testimony mode. What I think and what the Word teaches. Here's the good news. If we do it that way, 100% of participants become children of God. Nobody gets left out, no matter what you've been through, what you've done, or where you're from. Yes, sir.
Back in 1 John 2, verse 3, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. His commandments are revealed by the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, that's right. Good. Yes, sir.
It also says, in Romans, it says we're debtors.
Yeah. One more. Yes, sir.
Question, how does the Holy Spirit bear us witness?
So He's trying to show us things so that we can confirm our condition. What I know that He shows us is the revealed Word, and that's why we keep making that point, right? That the revealed Word shows us things and confirms us. Do you have other ideas in addition to that?
No, I can understand that. But yeah. It's as fair as witnessing. That's a strange wording.
Yeah, I think you're always two steps ahead of me, Mr. Bob. So sharp. Mr. Bob, so sharp. One of our lessons right near the end is on the testimonies of chapter 5. The word testimony gets brought up. The idea of testifying, bearing witness. And we're going to get to talk about how the Spirit does that through what it has revealed and through the promises that are made there. And we'll get into that. I think about just Acts chapter 2, this idea that when you repent and you're baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He promises salvation to you if you do it His way. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, please. Here's another occurrence. What we're doing here, if you're new to this class, we're sort of doing a thematic walk through 1 John. We walk through it 1 week looking at one idea, and then we do it again the next week. And I hope you've sat down. I'm just going to warn you, if you're going to be here Sunday night for the sermon, be sure you did your 1 John read so you can sit comfortably in your pew and enjoy the sermon. I'm just, look, hey, I gave you 4 days. Heads up, that's pretty great. But I hope that you're taking some time to read 1 John. This time we're looking for children of God. But what we do here is we're just branching out, looking at the concept in other places. So in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, what do we learn about this time being children of God? Sort of what it means to be one. What do we learn about that in Philippians 2?
We got to work out our own salvation.
Okay.
We don't work for it, we work it out.
All right, good. We don't work for it, but we've got to work it out to be children of God. Take some effort on our part, not an earning kind of effort, but an absolute sort of commitment. What else do you see?
It says God works in us.
Okay, great. God working in us. Right there in verse 13. Yes, ma'am.
Well, it was for his will. He works through us for his will. I like that.
Yeah. You know, Luke made that little add-in story the other night about mowing the lawn. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's my kids, and they got to do what I want them to do. I don't want, you think he doesn't like mowing the lawn? This guy doesn't like mowing the lawn. And so, go out and mow the lawn. I'm providing for you. I'm taking care of you. I give you pretty much everything you could ever imagine or want. Now go out there and put a smile on and mow the lawn. Now one day you can have your own little lawn mowers. And you can put that, that's the way this works. That's the way this works. One day you can raise your own little go-and-doers. And trust me, you will learn that they consume much more than they produce. Can we just say that and get an amen from the parents? On the lawn once a week in any way makes up for my favorite bag of chips. Look, we're children of God. What he provides for us and what we consume of him, patience would just be one example, is so much greater than anything he asks us to give. But he does expect you to mow the lawn. God has expectations. He's allowed to have those expectations. That's what a family is like, and that's what it's like to be here in this situation as well. There's a couple other things. Move forward a bit to verses 14 and 15. Part of that is not mow the lawn. It's what? How do we go out and let God work through us being children of God? What are we doing out here? Okay, appear as lights. Let's go ahead and read it. He says in verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. So Paul's talking a little bit about his ministry of converting them and how he doesn't want that to be in vain. What God says is, he doesn't say mow the lawn. He says, be above reproach. Be different. You're my children. You don't behave like everybody else's children. You behave in the image of me. And God has a right to ask that of us. So it's okay to talk about the blessings of being a child of God, but it's important to talk about the responsibilities because that's the right that God has. Without grumbling or disputing, without arguing with him, disputing his word, or being upset. Goes 1 John 5, don't just keep my commandments, 1 John 5. 1 John 5 talks about being born of God and overcoming the world. Don't just keep my commandments, 1 John 5, 3, but they must what? Not be burdensome. Don't just keep the commandments. Be happy to keep the commandments. Make that a part of enjoying this relationship. Let me give you one more. Look in Galatians, please. Need your help on this. Galatians chapter 3. This time we're looking at verses 25 through 29. And this idea here is descendants a little bit in verse 29. Let me read this. Verse 25. I'm in Galatians 3, verse 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. I put this one last because it kind of takes a little bit of all the rest of them and clobs it together in a short period of time. But But what does it say about being a child of God in those five verses? Do you see? Yes.
Similar theme in what you were talking about earlier about family in Philippians 2 and Galatians 3 here. He's talking about unity in both of those and a lot of those chapters, or a lot of verses in the chapters. And I think we see a lot of that in this verse, that there's not dissension among God's people, and we should, the world should see that we don't have dissension among ourselves, that we have that unity in family. And I think that's part of being a child of God.
All right. I love that he said that, because it really goes back to why he talks about loving your brethren all the time. You ever wonder why 1 John just got love your brethren? We get it. Okay, we're supposed to love. I'm supposed to love Paul over there. I got it. Why does he bring it up 46 times? Why in the passage earlier, in the one Kyle's referencing here, is he saying, look, there's neither Jew nor Greek? Because there was a lot of division between those people. There was a lot of fighting going on. You know, even in a good family, I think the Emerson family is a pretty good family. I think we have a pretty good time at our house. And we all get along. But there, every single day, there is at least one healthy little argument. You guys surprised to hear that? Every single day, there's a healthy little spat, and it is almost always between whom? Siblings. They don't fight with us. They better not fight with us. We don't fight with each other. I know who toasts my bread in the mornings. They fight with, it's the siblings. I think we're doing the best we can do right now to try to raise a godly family. But for some reason, one of them just wants to kick the other every once in a while. Even in healthy, beautiful, I'm talking about the church now, not the Emerson family. Even in the most healthy and beautiful families, it's the division, the differences between one another that cause the friction. And so I think it is interesting. You have to understand, 1 John really leaning heavily on them trying to put Jews and Gentiles together and get along. That was very difficult. And yet they were asked to do that, and so we really want to do that as well. Anything else about children of God in this text? Gotta love the heirs of promise. You know, we can talk about the responsibility of being a child of God all you want. You know why I'm all in? Because I want to receive the inheritance reserved uniquely for children of God. Uniquely reserved. The heir according to the promise that would come through restoration by Jesus. All right, we can see how becoming, I'm just reading here from near the top of page 19, we can see how becoming a child of God is the exact opposite of loving the world. It's a fellowship between God and us that is filled with love. Love from God, love for God, and as we said a minute ago, love for one another. It leads us to never stand against Christ, always with Christ, always for Christ. We know him and he knows us. That's a little mix up of some of what we've talked about. So let's do our best to answer four questions that we introduced on Sunday morning. And I really want to open this up to your participation. I know it's Wednesday night and stuff, but here we are. What does it mean? And I want to hear it in your words, your ideas, or what passages you've quoted for it. What does it mean to you to be a child of God or born of God? What does that mean to you? Yes, sir.
One of two things. Either to be Jesus or to be like Jesus in every way and to have God graciously disregard the differences.
Okay. I really like that approach, Paul. These terms are used of Jesus at times, and yet we get to be like Jesus and we also be children. That's good. What else? Yes, sir.
You have to love one another. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ.
All right. He's drawn directly from the 1 John letter. We love one another as family, better than family even, and we believe in our older brother, our elder brother, our king. Anybody else? What does it mean? Yes, sir.
I like the idea that when we're baptized into Christ, it's Lord that adds us to the church.
Okay, the Lord, he's our Father, he adds us to his family, the church, good. Anybody else? What does it mean to you to be a child of God or born of God? Really want to encourage you to use this language as often as you possibly can. Use this language. This is what you are. What does it mean when you say it? What does it mean to you? Yes.
Now, but God loves me and sent his Son to lead me to him. I can be adopted into his family by believing in his Son and obeying His will.
All right, really good. Adopted. I wrote that. So I was just reading. Looked like you were reading what I had here at the moment there. Adopted into a family of protection according to His will. Okay. Children of God. And the reason that you have to keep that language steady is it's not always easy. And sometimes we can feel very distanced from our Creator. We ought not, but sometimes we can. You need to remember, it's like a father loving his child. It never diminishes. God's love for us extends forever and always. How does one become a child of God or born of God? Several answers. All of them come together to make the one sort of package right answer. But what did you put down for that? Somebody's in class tonight going, man, that sounds really great. How do I do that thing? What do you say? Okay, one of the things we could talk about is obedience to the gospel. Galatians, we didn't talk about it a minute ago, because Kyle made a comment, a good comment, and we went that direction. But Galatians 3, I mean, you're clothed with Christ when you're baptized into Christ. We obey. But there's something that comes before that. I was reading 1 John. Everybody left the house this morning at 8:30. It was so quiet and awesome. So if somebody was like surveying to see when I showed up to work today, I was really late because I was sitting there sipping coffee and it was totally quiet. And I was reading 1 John out loud this morning and I just kept sort of hitting those spots where fundamentally, first thing, most important principle for your life is you must do what? You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Nothing else is going to work without that. If we're wavering in our conviction that He is God and He is King, He is coming back, well, we can dunk you in water till every finger shrivels up, and it's not going to change a thing. Our belief is the fundamental thing. Now, in addition to belief, that belief lives by loving God and obeying Him. We become children of God, we believe, and we obey. Anybody else? How do you become a child of God or born of God?
You have to reach the blood of Christ.
All right. Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, maybe if I just believe in you, I don't have to be born again. No, he said, Nicodemus, unless you are born again. Well, what do you mean born again? I mean water. And I mean Spirit. And I'm convinced it means the Holy Spirit. The blessings of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, salvation. All right, question 3. What are blessings? And this is where it really just, the doors swing wide open here. Lots of great options. What are blessings associated with being a child of God or born of God? When you think about what it means to be that, what do you think about? Forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1. We confess our sins, He forgives us. All right, yes? Similar? Anybody else? Yes?
Avenue of prayer.
Access to God. There's so much we could talk about there, but the Spirit is part of you being reborn, and He is a part of your prayer life. Jesus becomes your family. He is a part of your prayer life. They work between you and God. It's an asset, yes.
You have confidence in the life after this.
Yeah. Confidence in the day that the Lord returns. You know who you are. You know to whom you belong. That's great. Good answers. Some other answers, yes.
To me, I mean, I mess up a lot. And I think, you know, I can struggle at any moment. A prayer and asking for forgiveness gives me the ability to start over fresh every single time.
I just want to make sure we get that on the recording. Kelly messes up a lot. I think about that too, just like Kelly does. The prodigal son, what a mess that guy was. I mean, that guy was like Kelly. I mean, he blew it all. Way worse than we are. And yet, he comes back, and what does a father do?
Feast.
Has a feast. And by the way, what is the point of the parable of the prodigal son? Our Father loves us. All He wants to do is forgive us and redeem us and throw a feast for us. It's so amazing what we have in God, His love. He loves everybody the same, but He's only able to bless those who come to Him, who come back. He didn't run out and bless a guy who was running away from Him, but when he came back to Him, He blessed him immediately. That's the family of God. That's kind of like real family, actually, too. Other ones on this. What are the blessings of becoming a child of God?
It gives us the opportunity to practice righteousness.
All right. All right. I like the way you put that. You have no opportunity to practice righteousness without the grace of God, because none of us are righteous. But we have the opportunity to be right, to do it right. There's a little bit in 1 John 5 that's pretty good right at the end. It just talks about protection. Jesus protects us. A comment was made on Sunday that he protects us by taking our sins away. I mean, that's the kind of protection that we need. We have someone stronger than us working on our behalf. All right, question four then. Four basic questions. What are responsibilities for the one who is a child of God and born of God? All right. She starts with a generic truth that works, gets us moving in the right direction. We're going to keep his commandments. Okay, good.
To love one another.
All right. Definitely going to love one another. Talk a lot about that. Paul?
2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11.
Okay. Be diligent to increase and abound and all those wonderful qualities. 1 Peter 1, 5 through 11. The things that are of the Holy Spirit. What else? All right. Light is a common theme in John's letters, about having the kind of light that Jesus has, being like him. Good. What else? Yes.
Ready at all times to give a reason of the hope that's in us with meekness and fear.
All right. Always ready to defend who we are and to whom we belong. All right, good. Live a life of holiness, because God is holy, our Father is holy. How awesome is it to be able to defend your life by just saying, I love God and I want to be more like him. What a great way to live your life. No matter who asks you, why are you doing that? What's that about? Why do you go there? Why do you say that? Your answer is, I just want to be like my Father and I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and that's what I'm trying to do. All right, anybody else?
Spread the gospel.
Spread the gospel. Okay, good, very good. So those are four basic questions. You can talk all you want about what a child of God is, but in the end, we've got to look at, okay, how do you become one? What are the blessings and what are the responsibilities? And as at the example of the kid mowing the lawn earlier, number three is always going to be more impressive than number four on that list of questions. What God does for you and continues to do through his Son will always be greater than that which he asks us to do in his image. We're just a shadow. All right, any final comments or questions before we cross the black line and go down to a little bit of extra material? Henry?
On that number three, lessons associated with child of God. He intercedes in our life. We can go to him in prayer and he will intercede in our life.
Good. Power of intercession and power of prayer. Very good. Hope that we're utilizing that. Here are a couple other things we can say in this last few minutes that we have together as an extra study. Let's look at how everyone is a child of someone, spiritually speaking. Everybody has a father, spiritually, not just physically. In fact, it may not be the case physically at any present time, but it will always be the case spiritually. Either you are a child of God, born of God, and saved in the family of God, or you are a child of the devil, a son of the evil one, and lost. Go back to 1 John for that for just a moment. That comes directly out of our study. 1 John, I'm talking about verse 7 of chapter 3 would probably be fine. 1 John 3, verse 7. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. And the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin or practice sin because he is born of God. You can't live in sin and be a child of God. That is, it's amazing how many people would be offended by that sentence. It's amazing how many people would say, you don't have the right to judge me like that, when as plain as day in verses 8 and 9, it says you can't practice sin, we're going to talk about that in a couple weeks, and be a child of God. Why not? Because you're already a child of someone else. And you can either be a child of God or a child of the devil. In the following passages, note what it means to be a son of the devil. Matthew 13, what does it say about that? Anybody fill that in? We'll do it rather quickly here. Anybody fill in an answer for that? Yes?
Burned in furnace of fire.
Bad news, Matthew 13, there's a judgment. You are either a wheat or a tare. One gets gathered into the barn, the other gets burned up. All right, John 8, 41, what does it mean to be a child of the devil?
They do not hear because they are not of God.
Okay, not of God. They lie, they deceive, and they do not listen because the devil lies and deceives and doesn't listen. What do you mean I'm a child of the devil? If I'm embracing the qualities of the devil, he becomes my father. Acts 13, verses 4 through 12. What does it mean to be a son of the devil? Say again. Okay, enemy of righteousness. What kind of attitude or conduct was going on in Acts 13 that was indicative that they were an enemy of righteousness? What did they do?
Withstanding the teaching of Paul.
Okay, fighting truth. And they're also deceiving and being fraudulent, being fake and misleading. All right, let's do our review questions and then we'll be done tonight. As you know, we'll pick up on Sunday morning. Please read 1 John through again for Sunday morning. And we will be looking at lesson 10. Here we go. How many times, review question, how many times are we called children of God or born of God in the 1 John letter? Five chapters, how many times?
11 times.
I have 11 as well. Chapter 2, 29, 3, 1 and 2, 3, 9 and 10, 5, 1 through 4, 5, 18 through 21. Those are where those are found. In what, it what sense, ooh, good, I get something to fix this week. In what sense is all mankind children of God?
We were created by Him.
Okay. Give me a passage for that. Give me a pen that works. There. Give me a passage for that.
Genesis 1:26.
Okay. All are made, good, day six of creation. Right or wrong, you're made by God. Okay, give me another passage for that.
17-ish.
Acts 17, was it 17? Did we get it right this time? Yes, we did. Acts 17. Acts 17 talks about how God made all mankind. So there's a sense in which we're all children of God. What that means really to me is you don't just get to opt out and it's okay. I don't want to be a Christian. I want to be me and do my own thing. Wait, God made you. That's not an option on the table, even if you want to embrace it. What does that mean? What does that mean to be children of God in the 1 John letter? All right. In Christ, what does it mean to be children of God in the 1 John letter?
Born of Christ.
Okay. Born of God.
Relationship with Him.
Okay. Relationship is huge. You can't study 1 John without the word fellowship and without the word K-N-O-W all over the place. And also, as has been pointed out a lot, I don't see Jonathan here, he talks a lot about abide as well. There is a connection that is there. How do I know if I'm born of God? I think I'm born of God. I was baptized once. How do I know if I'm born of God?
I love the brethren. I obey Him and I love the brethren.
Okay. Obey Him and love the brethren. Anybody else? I think I'm born of God. I like 1 John 5:13. It talks about I've written these things. 1 John 5:13. I have written these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. The last thing we need in churches is people sitting in the pew going, I think I'm born of God. I hope I'm a Christian. I'm not going to cut it. You have to know it. So how do you know? You love brethren? What else?
Keep His commandments.
Okay, you do the best you can. Keep His commandments. You go to Him and ask forgiveness when you don't. All right, you might also just take the fatherly idea and just say, just try to be like Him. Try to be like Him in your ways. List a few blessings unique to God's children.
Prayer.
Okay, prayer, opportunity, good. Salvation, forgiveness, protection, inheritance, victory. You guys didn't think I was going to get to the questions. You're like, I should do those. He won't get that far. I did. List a few characteristics of God's children. How will I know when I've found one? Love, going to be lots of love. It's going to be love, all, not love of the world. It's going to be a lot of love of God, a lot of love of brethren. What else? They're going to be doing what the Bible says and making Bible arguments. The Spirit must testify. Okay, going to shine like a light. You're going to find brethren who don't sin. I think I told you guys the story before, but an older gentleman, I said, we all sin, you know, we all have to deal with that. And this older gentleman said, well, I don't think I've sinned in a week. Hey, congratulations. Although that may have just been one. I'm not real sure. We're talking about people who strive not to. Okay, that's it. List a few characteristics of Satan's children. You saw that already. Please be ready. We will pick up next lesson Sunday morning.